2021 has seen a record insurance payout for extreme weather claims. From May's flooding in mid-Canterbury to a tornado in Auckland in June, flooding in July and August on the west coast and upper South Island, and September's windstorm in Canterbury, insurers paid out a record $305 million so far this year. And the Insurance Council says it's only going to get worse, calling on the government to be more proactive on climate change resilience. Chief Executive of the Insurance Council of New Zealand is Tim Grafton. Kia ora.
Morena, Catherine.
So that sum, a record, perhaps not surprising given this year. Could the costs still climb further? Are they likely to climb further year on year from here?
Well, if I look back over the last 5 years, there's been about $1.25 billion worth of insured losses. So the real losses will probably be twice that. If you look at the 5 years before that, the losses were in the order of about $500 to $550 million. So they've doubled in the past 5 years compared to the previous 5 years. And we would see with climate change, more frequent extreme weather events, that this kind of cost will carry on increasing.
So it's nothing unique necessarily about 2021. What were the claims for? Are we looking at farms and farm infrastructure and coastal properties mainly, or was it more widespread?
Well, you mentioned the tornado that hit Papatoetoe. That was, you know, one of those events that just goes straight into a suburb and rips through it. But clearly we had coastal flooding in Westport, where, you know, a small town of a population of just over 4,000 incurred over $90 million worth of insured losses, something that their rateable base would just not be able to sustain. And yet, you know, when you mentioned the Canterbury flooding in May, June, that hit Canterbury farmers and land fencing and all of that really hard. So, you know, it spreads itself around the place. West Auckland flooding again in late August, early September, and then windstorm in the South Island later in the year. So all of these events are spread around the place, but they can have really acute effects in small places too.
When we look at some of the big infrastructure hit, we remember the bridge in Ashburton, for example, or the local roads in the Ashburton district. Are they council and central government costs? And do they deal directly, those big institutions, with the overseas reinsurers? Does that touch the local insurance companies or not?
Look, it tends to be, if it is insured, there may be some of it picked up locally and offshore. But equally so, a lot of it is what we'd call self-insured, that the costs are borne by the council or borne by central government in terms of some of the state highway roading and the like. So when we say we're talking about the insured losses that we've incurred, we would estimate the costs are double that all around when you look into, you know, what's not insured and what's not insurable as well. So you look at the land impacts in Canterbury on farmers, that pretty much was all uninsured, as was a lot of the fencing down there as well. So, it's a big loss. It's a big environmental, social and economic disrupted loss.
What will it mean for the cost and availability of insurance and insurance to homeowners and to businesses?
Well, you know, there is a very obvious signal that insurance sends, and it's an important role that it does send the signal that where there is increased risk, then insurers will price that risk. So that means effectively higher premiums coming through in those areas which face higher risks increasingly year by year. Now, our call really to central and local government in particular is to say, look, if we want to keep insurance in place, and we do want to keep it in place because it plays a very valuable role, as I gave that example with Westport, for instance, then we've got to keep it affordable and available. And to do that means we have to start to look at how we reduce the risks so that the costs of losses are manageable, tolerable. So a certain amount of risk we're going to have to bear. But what is tolerable that keeps insurance in place in an affordable and available way?
So what specifically do you want from government?
Well, there are a couple of things on the horizon. So clearly we know that there is a adaptation plan that the government will be releasing next year, which will be, so when we talk about adaptation, we're talking about risk reduction to New Zealand Inc. That's coming out next year. So we watch with interest as to what that is identifying as priority expenditure and focus. We know the government has a Climate Change Adaptation Act as one of the three pieces of legislation replacing the RMA. That's not due to come through until 23-24, but that piece of legislation looks at empowering local councils to take more proactive action to be able to manage their climate risks, and coupled with that needs to come some funding, because some of these councils' rateable bases are so small that they just simply will not be able to afford the investment that may be required. And also, I think we need to be looking at how we transition through where there are areas that inevitably they may become totally impractical and economic to defend, and how we transit through to retreat from those areas in a way that is equitable to those residents who may have lived there for many, many years. And also we need to look to the future and say, look, there are certain places where we will not build. And if we are building in certain areas, this is how we will build. And it will require changes to finish floor levels and the like, for instance, to reduce the risk of flooding.
Some of those changes that the councils are to be proactive about, is it building defences necessarily? Or is it also saying you cannot do a new development here and potentially in some instances manage retreat? Are you looking for some of those decisions too?
Yeah, I think so. There are some hard conversations that have to be had, honest ones, and take the communities with you. One of the unseens out there is groundwater. So we're aware that the sea level is rising. As the sea level rises, it has impacts on the groundwater on land where properties are built. So that groundwater might start moving closer to the surface and increase the risk of flooding. So we've got to start to look, take that long view and say, is it sustainable to be able to build more property or maintain property in certain areas? And if that's not the case, then how do we plan a transition to shift from there? In some instances, it may require and be totally appropriate that there are some kinds of defences to climate change put in place. You've just really got to do that on a case-by-case basis assessment.
Tim, thanks very much. Tim Grafton is Chief Executive of the Insurance Council of New Zealand, a record year for payouts, insurance payouts for extreme weather claims, $305 million. As he said, he estimates it's about half of the actual costs because so much wasn't insured or was perhaps covered by councils and governments having to do the spending.